Glory to God. John chapter 16. So how many people were offended today when they saw the snow? Oh, that's what we're talking about, being offended. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Chapter 16 starts out with that statement about being offended. And that's where we ended up 2 weeks ago, before we had our resurrection message last week, was this offense word. And scandalizo in the Greek it is, and it sounds very much like scandalized, and that's what we become when we're offended. We're scandalized, or you're in an entrapment, you're caught in a place. And that word also has associations with a trap, in particular the bait on the trap, the trigger of the trap. And we take that bait to be offended, and we feel like that's the right thing to do. It's where we're naturally led to go, but we're being led into a trap of unforgiveness, of anger, or wherever it is. And we find ourselves in a very claustrophobic place of closed in. And we've lost our opportunity to show God's grace. So he's saying, hey, I've spoken. Jesus is saying, I've spoken these things unto you that you should not be offended. This, of course, would not be possible to be offended if it wasn't for the forbidden fruit that was eaten in the Garden of Eden. Wouldn't it be possible for us to be offended, to be scandalized in this way, if it wasn't for the original sin that has scarred each one of us? So the fact that we become offended shows something about our sin nature, that we can become offended. Jesus wants to help us off of that tree, off of that place that we've been born onto, the tree of sin, tree of knowledge of good and evil. He wants us to be not offended anymore, not to walk around this earth easily offended, like we talked about the gas truck going by with all the flammable symbols on it. Like, we shouldn't be that as Christians, just ready to explode at the slightest thing. One more thing. You know, it's not about that. The grace of God is a powerful flow that flows through us all the time. It's a torrent. It has to be. If it's a trickle, we would be in bad shape. So if it feels like a trickle, God's inviting you to come into his arms this morning. You heard the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the word shared this morning, to allow him to minister his love to you, allow him to cradle you in his arms and to sing over you, to rejoice over you. It's an awesome thing. So that place of being offended, someone might say, well, I have a right. Yes, you do, because you dwell on that tree of the wrong and right, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's time to change trees. It's what Jesus is all about here. You don't understand, preacher. The world mistreats me, and all I do is good to them. I do this, and they do this back to me. Let's take a look at what Jesus said about that in chapter 15. He said in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So do you know that? Jesus is saying, do you know that it hated me before it hated you? If you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, and I've chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. How about this? When you have that, you feel like taking that bait. It's the same forbidden fruit. You want to know where it is? That forbidden fruit is? It's still out there today. There's a trap set for you somewhere in this afternoon that you're going to get offended. You're going to reach for that fruit. I'm going to be offended. I'm going to pass judgment on the situation that my rights were violated. And you're on that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, folks. And he wants you off of it. He wants you on the tree of life. Some of you are already offended by the message today. Listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 25 of 15, if you're not getting this. But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They will hate you without a cause. They will mistreat you when you treat them well. Don't go for the bait and the trap and get offended. You will become apostate. Your love will grow cold. You will be a useless, dusty Christian. This is a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough one. Becoming offended. Jesus would say in Matthew 5, great is your reward when they persecute you and they say vile things about you. Great is your reward. Be exceedingly glad when these things happen. You know you're in the right place. When the world loves you, when the world treats you well, perhaps you need to question where you're at. This isn't a message to discourage anybody. This is a message to encourage you, because God also says this in Isaiah and also in 1 Corinthians, the same message. He says, eye has not seen or ear heard the things which God has prepared for those that wait on him, Isaiah says, or for those that love him, Paul says in Corinthians. Same message, same meaning. Those that are waiting on God love God. You will wait for somebody that you love. I wait for my wife all the time. It's an act of love. You know, those two things go together. Isaiah 64, good one to put in the margin there. About anchoring in the hope of Christ. Eye has not seen or ear heard, has it entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those that wait on him and that love him. Big message on waiting on the Lord coming at me personally these past couple weeks. Waiting on the Lord and the payoff. It's hard, it's so difficult, that waiting. It says our heart grows sick in Proverbs. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We're longing for this, whatever it is. And then when it comes, when God gives us that answer, it's a tree of life. If we try to force something to happen, if we get impatient, as Sarah did with Abraham, you produce what's called Ishmaels. That was a son of the flesh, where she wasn't bearing a child, so she says, hey, Abraham, go into our maid here, Hagar, and he did, he obliged. Sounds like a great idea. And they produced an Ishmael. It wasn't the promise of God. Beautiful child, Abraham loved him, all of that, but it wasn't the promise of God. They're helping God out. So the waiting on God is loving, and loving God is waiting on him. A particular one came to pass for me this particular week, so I want to share that testimony with you, encourage you. That's Psalm 37. Way back in, I think in November, early December, I went down to the Carolinas. Things were shaking up at work. My boss left. He just left. He sent an email out. I'm gone. See ya. Nice working with you. And we're all looking at each other. I'm working at my desk. I look over at my assistant next to me, and we're like, is this for real? And so from that point forward, there's been a lot of commotion with my personal life and my employment in Auburn there. Well, God came. It's just a great searching time during the time we went to the Carolinas and weddings. God was speaking to me. He was showing me things. And Psalm 37 came about. In that time of trial, because I wanted to stand up for who was, you know, the truth and these kind of things. And I did to some extent, but God gave me this, and he told me to wait. At a certain point, he says, that's enough. But God, no, Paul, anything more, you produce an Ishmael. Psalm 37 is what he gave me. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Do you hear the building there? It's like we're restless, we're squirming in God's arms, we're fighting, we're kicking, and God is trying to hold on us, and it's like, trust in me, delight in me, commit your way to me, and he shall bring it forth. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Trust in him, delight in him, commit your way. rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is Psalm 37, verse 7, the seven rocks today from Eliana. Rest in the Lord. Roger shared about it too. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Resting and waiting for somebody is loving them. You want to test your love? Wait for somebody. They're about an hour late. You'll see how much you love them. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He's about 3 weeks late. He's about 3 years late. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. In my opinion, he's late, right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. You see the squirmers that we are? We want to squirm and kick and get our hearts hard. Because of him who prospers in his way, somebody got their prayer answered, somebody else is being blessed, maybe even an unbeliever gets the job before you do or promotion or something like that, and we start squirming. We start squirming. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. No, I want my ice cream now. I want my Ishmael flavored ice cream now. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. He's holding you in his arms. He's singing over you. He's rejoicing over you because the plans that he's got for you are good and of peace. Not to destroy you. He's a good father and he's got a plan for you. Allow his love to calm you down. Allow his word, his truth, to calm you down. Rest. Come to a place of being still before the Lord. You've been squirming. You've been fighting. You've been kicking. Come to a place of being still. You're the two-year-old, and so am I. You've been fighting and kicking, and holding your breath and turning blue and passing out. Isn't going to make it come to pass. Rest in the Lord. Trust him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You can read the rest of that psalm. But this particular week it came to pass, the company got called together, just like they did back in November, telling us that we were going to be sold. And people were going to lose jobs, and things were happening, and people are crying. All this is going on. You're talking about a family-owned business that started in 1968. So you're talking about a big deal and a big part of the community of Auburn. And just this past week, calling everybody together again. We're not selling. We're partnering with somebody. We're partnering with a doctor who has a vision to reach the underprivileged. And it's working. He's making people healthier while reducing costs at the same time. He's got a vision that's working. We're going to partner with him. Hallelujah. Maddie heard it coming. You heard it. The Lord was preparing. It hasn't entered into the ear or the eye what God has prepared for those that love him and wait on him. Waiting on him is loving him. Loving him is waiting on him. You get it? Stop squirming then. Rest and relax in him. Jesus has brought us in these three chapters of 14, 15, and 16, a trilogy of all sorts of threes going on here, but I'm not a numbers guy. He brought us a trilogy of triple threat that comes against our being. Trouble, he says in 14:1, let your heart not be troubled. Then in 14:27, let your heart not be troubled or allow it to go into a place of fear. So trouble, fear, and now in 16 verse 1, offense. The triple threat that's against Kelsey. The triple threat that's against Kim. The triple threat that's against Richard Anthony every single day. Trouble, tribulation, that's the stirring. We get agitated. All of a sudden your flesh is starting, you know, move. You're agitated, you're squirming, the squirm. The fear that comes in 14:27, the triple threat here, and the offense of becoming offended, then you apostate. Now you're in a place you can't love anymore, you're entrapped, but you have a right. You bet you have a right. but it's on that tree of the knowledge of good and right, right and wrong. You can stay on that tree if you want. You can make your life on that tree. In fact, a lot of legalist people will move on that tree just over to the side of the good part of that tree. You see, it's a good and evil tree. And the deception comes in when people just move on that a little over to the side of good and they feel like now I'm at the right place with God. No, that whole tree's got to burn up. Everything good about you, everything evil about you, everything has got to be consumed on the cross. And you've got to become born again on the tree of life. That's a complete surrender. Don't be like Nebuchadnezzar and just, I'm going to plug God into these areas of my life. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's becoming a little gooder. It's a complete surrender. It's a complete disposing of yourself, surrender and being redeemed on the tree of life. Here we'll see victory over trouble. Here we'll see victory over fear. Here we won't be so tempted to take that bait of offense and become entrapped in it. Jesus gives us three instructions in these three chapters. In 14:1, he says, believe in God, believe also in me. Then in 14:27, we're told to abide in him, in his rest, in his peace, the promise of peace. Then in 16:1, we're going to see it flow into the giving of the Holy Spirit. So with a triple threat, we're given a triple promise of victory. Believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ as the way, truth, and life. Abiding in God, abiding in his love, then we're going to experience the peace of God. Then for offense, finally, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was read this morning, I believe Simeon from Ephesians, which we're going to start tonight at 7:30 here, the book of Ephesians. The giving, that deposit of the Holy Spirit. That's the promise of even better things to come. A deposit of God within you. And the promise of heaven that is attached to that. Jesus continues in verse 2 there, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Don't worry. The guy's going nowhere today. He's got two verses done. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God a service. And Saul of Tarsus will be one of those people that are killing Christians. One of the greatest conversions in the Bible, Saul of Tarsus, going from killing Christians to becoming a Christian. They shall put you out of the synagogues. He would drag people out of their houses. Imagine being that, seeing that happen and then seeing that guy come and preach at your church. Would you be offended? Careful. Careful. How big is God's grace? No way, not that guy. He pulled Uncle right out of his house, dragged him right to jail. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you shall remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. This is the swan song of Jesus. This is his last words to his disciples and to us on this earth. Moses had a swan song. It's in the end of Deuteronomy and it's brought into Psalm 90. Jesus has a swan song here, and he's given it to us. He's talking about guarding our hearts. He's talking about giving us the Holy Spirit. That song, I believe, is captured in the book of Psalms in three places. Here it comes again in threes. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are the songs of Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is of Jesus and his suffering. Psalm 23 is of Jesus and his lordship in our life, the raised Jesus. Psalm 24 is the one, the King Jesus, coming back in power. Beautiful study. What would your swan song be today if I were to ask you? What would you want to tell this world if you were knowing you were going to leave? Jesus is telling us awesome things here. He's delivering us from fear. He's delivering us from the offense. He's delivering us from the trouble. In 5 through 11, we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit here, the power that we need to overcome these things. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where do you go? they were asking questions in 14, and now they got the deer in the headlights. They're starting to get what's happening. The gravity of things is really starting to come to them. They're coming into a place of really being offended almost. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Here's the Holy Spirit. Guess what? How many aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit are we going to see here? Three. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. The Holy Spirit brings us into three aspects of ministry here. And he's going to tell us that here in verses 8 through 11. If I depart, I will send him unto you in verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, number one. And of two, righteousness. And three, judgment. And he explains those. Of sin because they believe not in me. Why do we sin? It's a belief issue. Why sin? Because I was, or this, or because of my upbringing, or I have these excuses and reasons. No, you stop believing. Sin is tied directly to belief. Your belief dries up, you will start sinning. You're sinning because your belief is dried up. The Holy Spirit will bring you into that place of conviction. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher in that way. Keep your belief alive. Remember, Jesus says, let your heart not be troubled. What? Believe in me. So the work of the Holy Spirit will continue that in each one of us. The believing in Jesus Christ is key over sin. There are all sorts of programs out there. There are all sorts of ways to, in methods of man, but here's God's method. Believe in God and believe also in me, Jesus said. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. We talked about this last Sunday. The righteousness that's being talked about here is the power of resurrection. The power of the risen Christ. The Holy Spirit brings this into our life. Remember last week, what did we talk about? We went not from a what is resurrection, or not about how do I get this, or how do I overcome these things, to about who. It has to start with the who. Then it flows into the why, the purpose of things. And then, on a much smaller scale, is the what and how of things. The what and how might look different in Haiti than it does in America. It might look different in this church than it looks in another church. And that's when we can start looking, hey, why are we different? And we start butting heads. And, well, we do it this way. The what and how of things isn't what it's about. It's about the who of things. It's about the who of things. Who and why. Jesus Christ is the who, and the why is because he loves us. Love is the motivation. Love is the purpose. Richard said the greatest law before church started today. He was asking the guys back there and the gals, what's the greatest law? I think you asked that, right? Something like that. It was love. What is the law? What is the law? It was a tea bag. Okay. I remember you asked the question about what's the law? What's the ultimate law? And it was love. I didn't hear about the tea bag though. Okay. All right. So the purpose of things is love. The Holy Spirit bringing us that righteousness. The third one of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. Okay, so let's look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit here through Psalms 22, 23, and 24. So let's finish up today by doing that. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 22. The tears were flowing as I was reading this in preparation for this, so hopefully I will be able to be done with that. The gushy stuff, and be able to read it and get through it here. The threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit is bringing us into the place of bringing Christ to us. And Jesus is saying, when I was with you, you know, he calmed the storm when he was with the disciples. He fed, and it was Jesus doing that. And now he's saying, as I am leaving, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and continue. Christ is going to continue through us through the ministry of the Spirit. So let's look at this threefold ministry of the Spirit. Sin, firstly, dealt with in Psalm 22. We're going to look at the songs of Christ here. These are the swan songs of Jesus Christ, the songs he left us with, Psalm 22 through 24. Different teaching, different day. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me in the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, he squirmed. We enter into that place. He squirmed and got victory and brought us peace. Through his chastisement, peace was given to us. Do you understand that? The squirming that Jesus is doing on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Was to bring us peace in our squirming. We've got to see that. We've got to believe that. The Holy Spirit is trying to woo us into this understanding. God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm. I am not a man. I'm of a reproach of men and despised of people. All that see me laugh at me to scorn. This is the Jesus that loves you. They shoot out of the lip. They shake the head saying, Jesus knew this. He knew Psalm 22 as he entered the cross. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for the trouble is near. There is none to help. I'm going to stop right there. You can read the rest of that. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, our squirm, our struggle, has a lot to do with our sin nature, the sin nature that we've inherited. He is now squirming for us to be that we'd be delivered. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit of sin, the power of his death, this is a resource that you and I have. Psalm 22 is, you go to the gas station and you got the different dials of gas. There you're going to dial 22 right there and start pumping it in, man. Start pumping it in. Start realizing that he squirmed for you and me. He became a worm because of when you feel like a worm. He became a reproach. And then those people that laugh at you, so you can be in the fellowship of his sufferings and be healed in those times and be comforted. This is a resource of his death. The Holy Spirit brings us into this power of the death of Christ. Psalm 22, sin, death, believing in Jesus Christ. Now Psalm 23, righteousness, his lordship. This is the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection isn't some mysterious power that is created and floats around. It's the person of Jesus Christ following him as a shepherd, as the person. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you realize what that statement is saying? We are born unholy. We're just trying to fill voids in our life constantly. Do you realize what God is inviting us into? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the greatest miracle that's ever happened. It isn't the parting of the sea. It isn't the moving of mountains. It isn't raising the dead. It's this, that I can step into this holiness of not wanting, of being satisfied, being content, stopping squirming and fighting and kicking. The Lord is my shepherd. Now that he has done that on the cross in Psalm 22, I'm at the gas station. I'm going to pump this in, man. I'm going to pump this reality in. I'm going to believe that the Lord is my shepherd. This is a resource for you and me, baby. This is a resource that you need to get filled up with. This is the righteousness of God. This is the Holy Spirit. He wants to give it to you. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? The Lord is my shepherd. This is the who of things. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still water. Stop squirming. Stop squirming. Allow the peace of God to rest upon you. There's no reward in the direction you're going. If you're going in a direction of fretting, of being offended, and being all up upon yourself, surrender that now. Surrender in Psalm 22. Allow it to be crushed. It's the trash compactor. It'll chew that stuff up. Just submit it to God right now. God, fill me with the power of your resurrection. Now that I have this, I want to follow you. I get it now. It's all about following you. It's not about how much I have or how much I don't have. It's about following you, and I'm going to find contentment in that. There is no other way. There is no other way. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He comforts me. He's with me. His staff comforts me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Lastly, today is Psalm 24, and this is judgment. This is the threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit we're talking about today that brings us into Jesus Christ, who is the way, truth, and life, that addresses you in mind, body, and spirit. The power of his coming, another dial on that gas station pump. The power of his coming. This is a hope that doesn't disappoint. This is really going to happen. Our hope is anchored in the kingdom comes. And you know what? When your hope is anchored in the kingdom comes, his will be done in your life. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's. That's the original wife of creation. The original spouse. The divorce came. We remarried to Satan. Now Satan's the prince and power of the air. So who is it? Who's the earth? We have this odd question. You hear verses about Satan being the power of this world, and you hear this. Well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We can say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity or sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, we sang it today. Lift them up to the mountains, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, rest there. Rest there, folks. That's the anchor. That's the hope that doesn't disappoint. His kingdom is coming. That means his will is going to be done. If I'm hoping for that, that's going to purify me in the now. That means his will is going to be happening in my life right now. I'm not going to be entertaining sin. Three powerful resources at the gas pump for us to be pumping in every single day. Psalm 22, 23, and 24, your homework this week, meditate on those things in those areas. You've got a great teacher, and it's not me. He's the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you into all truth in those areas. He's going to show you things. You're going to come in next Sunday or maybe Tuesday night or Wednesday night and say, you know what the Lord showed me in that? I'm going to say, praise God, amen. That's cool. Thank you, Jesus. Fill up. Fill up. Don't pass through the gas station and go for the car wash. Forget about the car wash. Forget about the things of the world that make you clean. Get filled up with the power of God. That makes you clean. That makes you clean. Thank you, Jesus, for gathering us together. We are your children, as Tom shared today. I'm just one of those, Lord Jesus Christ, one of your kids here today. We're enjoying your presence. We're enjoying your truth, Lord God. We give you praise and glory. We pray for those that hearts are sick this morning that are waiting for that, Lord Jesus. They're in the waiting mode. They're waiting, Lord God. Show them that it's love. Show them that it's love, Lord God. Just show them the truth in that area, Lord Jesus, that there's something good about waiting. It expresses our love towards you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Also go to Psalm 37. If you're struggling and squirming right now, may that be your meditation this week as well. Spend some time in there. His promises are true. It'll come to pass. He'll blow your mind. I guarantee it. It's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Enjoy the day, folks.